sometimes while chanting, certain some images, certain moving visuals or whatever, something like that comes, that just shakes us off. Maybe we will go not off to sleep or we get distracted. And then we don't want that to happen. We take a resolve that it will not happen. But then again it happens again and again. So basically the mind sometimes moves in irrational ways during chanting. But those irrational ways are also repeated. There are irrational repeated patterns. So what causes them and what can we do about them? So firstly, the mind, we don't have to bother too much about the content of the mind. We simply have to cleanse it. It's like if you have got a trash can, we don't have to see all that is present in the trash can. Just throw away the trash. So that way, you know, what all the mind is thinking about, we don't have to think too much about it. Because from where certain thoughts will be coming in the mind, we just can't see. In general, the agitations of the mind can come from two sources. One is external and the second is internal. External means, you know, we may see some horrific accident and then that gets stuck in our mind and we start replaying that constantly. Oh, terrible accident, terrible accident. People get what is called panic attacks by that. Or we may see some sexually agitating stimuli and then that starts, the mind starts replaying it. So one is external stimuli. External stimuli we can try to avoid as much as possible. It's not always possible to avoid entirely. But surely we can minimize the exposure. But apart from the external stimuli, which to some extent are controllable, the mind can get agitated even by some internal stimuli. You know, if there is a puddle, the puddle of water, which is calm, can get agitated from two sources. One is that somebody throws a stone in it from outside. The other is, deep within, there is some fermentation that happens and suddenly bubbles come up. So like that, what all is happening in our mind, it is very difficult to find that out. So why certain desires come up suddenly, certain images come up suddenly, we can't really say that. And at one level we should understand that the mind's agitations are also karmic reactions. Karmic reactions don't just come at the physical level, they can also come at the mental level. So we may go through phases when we suddenly for no reason lust increases, suddenly for no reason anger increases. So if we observe our life and we see that, okay, I have not done anything to increase the lust, I have not done anything to increase the anger, I have not done anything to cause the increased anxiety levels. So then if we have not done anything, then we don't have to worry too much about it. So it's just the bubbles come up suddenly in the water body. Similarly, certain desires may come up. They are just coming because of karmic reactions. Now all that we need to do is to tolerate it. Tams diksha subhanga. So our spiritual life is not defined by what the mind does. It is defined by what we do. What the mind does is, okay, it may come up with certain thoughts, it may get agitated with those thoughts. But what we do we just go along with those thoughts or do we try to tolerate those thoughts? In general, if we observe, the mind is not constantly agitated. Like, it's not that 24 hours the mind is agitated. Yes, there will be some level of agitation for 24 hours, but the difficult agitation is intermittent. Say, if this is normal electricity level, sometimes the electricity has surges, power surges are there. Now, power surges are not constant. So like that, the mind also has surges of passion. Sometimes it just go up. So that surges of passion can be in terms of increased lust, increased anger, increased greed, or it can be in terms of certain appearance of stimuli which cause agitation. So the point is that those stimuli, when they come, we just need to endure them. Sometimes the stimuli may come so forcefully that they may impel us to do something also. Yeah, sometimes just lust may attack so much that at that phase we may do something wrong and then you wonder, why did I do that? So now, if you obsess too much, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? All that we are doing is the time when we had things under control, when we could have done something to strengthen ourselves. So the surges, the time of the surges it may be that things are not in our control. But in between the surges, things are in our control. So instead of worrying too much about what happens in the surges, we focus on what we can do between the surges. And if it's between the surges we are constructively engaged, taking shelter of Krishna, then we will be able to gradually become purer, stronger, and then we will be able to resist the surges also. So if certain images come up during chanting, or for that matter during any other time also. So the surges don't really matter. What is it? Ultimately Krishna doesn't hold what happens to us, he doesn't hold us responsible for what happens to us. We are responsible for what we do in response to it. So even if the certain images come in the mind, don't bother too much about it. Just try to create some mechanism that you can tolerate them more. And they will just pass, and as they pass, their frequency will go down. And gradually, they will disappear as they become more and more purified. So trying to analyze too much about what causes some surges. There's a whole branch of psychology called as psychoanalysis. Sigmund Freud pioneered that. There, people try to go back and focus on their past childhood memories to try and find out, okay, what caused certain psychological patterns in people. That may be of some help, but ultimately, even if you find out some childhood shocks which cause certain thought patterns, still, you know, we live in a world which can always give us other shocks in future. So rather than trying to retrace the past shocks in order to free ourselves from their consequences, it is far better that if we purify ourselves and raise our consciousness to a spiritual level where we will get the wherewithal to endure all shocks, those from the past, those from the present, and also from those which may come in the future. So our Krishna consciousness will toughen us internally, and whatever shocks come in, they will not affect us so much. So when the mind starts oscillating, if we habituate ourselves in between the surges, if we are taking shelter of Krishna, if we are holding on tightly to Krishna, when the surges come, the mind goes off in some other direction. If we have habituated ourselves to holding on to Krishna, then we won't just blindly go along with that direction, rather we will hold on to Krishna still. And then the mind will say, alright, this person is not coming with me. The mind will come back. And gradually the mind will stop going in that direction. So the mind in that sense is like a pet dog. And if we encourage some behavior, it will do it more and more. But if you just neglect it, it will stop that behavior. So when the mind starts coming up with strange ideas, and as to the best of our observation, we have not caused anything to come up for it to come up with those images, then better don't pay any attention, just focus on taking shelter of Krishna and tolerating them, and then they will be bored.